You're listening to All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Time for our weekly political discussion with Becky Gray from the conservative John Locke Foundation and Rob Schofield of the progressive NC Policy Watch. Hey there.
Hey.
Hi, Jeff.
Today we're reviewing the short legislative session, which concluded late last week. In a frenetic 6 weeks, lawmakers enacted a budget, sent 6 proposed constitutional amendments to the November ballot, and managed to avoid any national controversy. What is the most significant thing the General Assembly did since gathering mid-May? Rob.
Was it only 6 weeks? It felt like 6 months. The most significant thing I think they did was send these constitutional amendments to the ballot. To me, we have rammed through, really, 6 dramatic constitutional amendments that are going to be on the ballot. This is essentially unprecedented in modern times. Not only that, they did it in a way so that they didn't include implementation legislation or language with it, so we're not even exactly sure what at least 5 of the 6 are going to do and what they would mean. They'd need new laws. It's not clear what people are voting for. One of them is a sort of dramatic power grab that continues this general effort by the legislature to take away power from the governor. It's even been opposed now by Republican governors, former governors. So I guess the constitutional amendments, but there's a lot of other stuff that they didn't do during the session that I was very disappointed by. Perhaps we'll get a chance to talk about that as well.
You will.
Well, the constitutional amendments, of course, that was one of the final things that they did. Mm-hmm. So they kind of went out with a big bang, if you will, with the constitutional amendments. But I think that we need to remember that with the short session, as always, the implementation and the passing of the second year of the 2-year budget is really that's the whole point of the short session, for them to come back and do that. And I think the continuation of the policies that have been in place for the last 6 or 7 years, that to me, that's the thing that really stands out, is they continue to do what they've been doing, which in my mind, and which many statistics and the data now tell us, have resulted in a growing economy. And we're talking about lowering taxes. We're talking about lowering the regulatory burden. We're talking about reining in the growth of government. We're talking about putting money into savings accounts. We're talking about better, smarter investments in education, in infrastructure. So when you put all of those things together, and the fact that it continues the momentum that they started, 100,000 net new jobs have been created in North Carolina in just the last year. So people are getting back to work. The economy's growing. North Carolina is seen as a model across the country for these kind of things. So I think sort of that combination of just continuing the momentum that started, to me, was the most significant thing in this short session.
Rob mentioned the lack of implementing language as we think about these constitutional amendments. Voter ID as an example. The question before voters will be, do you want to amend the North Carolina Constitution, I'm paraphrasing here, so that photo ID is required at the polls, but the details of that would not be worked out until afterward. Should they have worked out the details of that and the other proposed constitutional amendments, that implementing language that Rob noted, here on the front end?
Well, that's kind of the question. I mean, you know, do you do it before, with a lot of controversy, with a lot of working out details, or do you do it after, when you see that people, yes, do want a photo ID required? They made the decision to wait. Just a couple things. You want to be careful on the language that you put on the constitutional amendment. You know, just traditionally, North Carolina has probably, if you look at all the state constitutions, ours isn't the shortest, but it certainly isn't the longest either. So anytime you're proposing that language to go into the Constitution, you want to keep it short and succinct. Now, they could have done the language for the constitutional amendment, the question to the voters, and then worked out some of those details, but they chose to wait and see, do North Carolinians think this is a good idea to require a photo ID when you go to vote? And then they have already scheduled a session for November 27th after the election to see what these have looked like and what implementation may be required.
I'm coming to you in a second, Rob. Not to be overly cheeky. Becky, do you want to go on vacation next month? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, do you want to go to Baghdad?
Where
do you want to
go?
To Pakistan? Or how do you feel about Antarctica in the summer
or,
months?
You know, how about a weekend at the beach?
You
know, there's lots of things in between.
You don't know. Wouldn't you rather know on the front end what this vacation is going to be? Dangerous analogy here, but
that's a dangerous analogy, huh? Jeff.
Well, look, a constitutional amendment is not a poll. It's not a straw poll. It's not that we're just testing what people think about stuff. A constitutional amendment is a huge step for a state to take. It's literally changing the fundamental document under which we all operate. And the fact that these amendments, 5 of the 6 of them, are impossibly vague, impossible for people to know exactly what they're voting on. Jerry Cohen, who drafted most of these when he worked at the legislature for the last few decades, said only one of the last 16 that we've actually voted on in North Carolina was like this. The vast majority that we voted on in the past had implementation language. And so you're absolutely right. We have no idea what voter ID means. We have no idea what it means. It's literally just taking a poll, and then legislators are going to presume to act upon that and come in and pass legislation that will again be challenged in court. That's what's going to happen.
Well, what we've seen is this isn't just out of the blue that we've heard no discussion about this. This has been discussed in North Carolina for a number of years. There was legislation that passed with a big omnibus election bill that had photo ID in it. What they're talking about, or what they've been talking about, and what I would anticipate them talking about when they get to the implementation part, if North Carolina voters want to do this, is a driver's license or a photo ID issued through the Department of Motor Vehicles. Anyone who does not have one will get one for free. Government-issued ID is what we've seen. It's also what we've seen in other states. So, I mean, this isn't out of the blue. It's not that we have no idea, but those details have not been nailed down.
And there are all kinds of government-issued ID, and sometimes that didn't work last time we did this. So, I mean, I still think it's just a huge unanswered question, and it's asking people to just sort of just take a guess on what it is they're voting on.
There was plenty legislators did not do as well in these past 6 weeks or so. They avoided gun legislation, passing on diverging proposals, one to arm teachers, another to implement a gun violence restraining order. There was a plan to provide more school psychologists, which ultimately fizzled. While it looked like there would be new requirements for disclosing who paid for campaign ads on Facebook, that also was tabled for now. And there was no formal addressing of the Me Too movement, despite stories about current and former lawmakers. What is the most significant thing that didn't happen this year, Becky?
Well, you mentioned the Facebook ads and social media, and that's something that was proposed. It got a committee hearing. I thought a good discussion on it, but not enough discussion. That's one of those. Social media is kind of a new animal, and it's something that I think until when government starts talking about regulating it, I just think we need to take that slow and thoughtful and really do it right. Some of the things that faded, if you will, were just needed more attention, needed more. Let's just take a closer look at it. You mentioned the Me Too movement. Jeff, I would disagree that they didn't do anything. The administration of the General Assembly put some new policies in place, some requirements for trainings and things like that happened through this. You mentioned the gun safety, school safety, prison safety were addressed. There were also, you know, you mentioned things that got done, things that didn't get done. I would add another category of things that we're starting to look at that we're clearly going to continue to, and two of those were school safety issues and prison safety.
I would just say you had a good list there, a long list, a sad list of things that were unaddressed. Obviously, they didn't address the gun issue adequately. They didn't. I mean, they just let it sitting there. We really didn't address the Gen X water pollution crisis in the way that we should have. We didn't adequately fund schools. We didn't adequately fund prisons. We didn't adequately fund the courts. But the most egregious continuing ongoing error is the failure to expand Medicaid. As a result of the failure to expand Medicaid in North Carolina, we know for a fact that thousands of North Carolinians will die prematurely in the coming year simply because of the failure to do this. It's hindering our ability to respond to the opioid crisis. It is essentially assuring that hundreds of thousands of people will continue to go to the emergency room. These are hardworking people, in many instances employed people, who simply don't have health insurance. And because we haven't followed the lead of 30 plus other states, many of them led by Republicans, we will suffer. North Carolinians will suffer again next year without health insurance.
I think the health care issue is going to be continued to be looked at. I disagree with Rob. I don't think that we should expand Medicaid right now. We are working with the federal government. We are working with reforms within North Carolina to shore up our Medicaid program to make sure that it's working right, that people who are receiving their health care through Medicaid are receiving good quality care, that they have access to care. And until we get that fixed, I think to expand that program to hundreds of thousands of people, 82% of the Medicaid expanded population are able-bodied, childless adults who could be working. And many people would rather see those programs expanded for worker training and community college programs and those kind of things to get people into work situations where their health insurance is offered through their employer.
Looking way ahead to 2019, probably a web extra, concisely if you can, Are we any closer to seeing some form of Medicaid expansion in this state, or is that still largely off the table?
I think Medicaid, when you say Medicaid expansion, it's a complicated, complex system, and there are different ways to expand Medicaid. Should we have more block grants from the federal government so that we can construct a program here in North Carolina that suits our needs and gets to the people who need it? Absolutely. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to just doing a blanket expansion of the Medicaid, of the very flawed Medicaid program that we have today. I think it's just a waste of money, and it doesn't help the people who need the help. So I think that we need to do it thoughtfully. I think that we are going to continue to look at ways to improve health care in North Carolina, improve access to health care, make sure that people get quality health care.
I think if you went and talked to John Kasich or a handful of Republican governors in other states who've seen the impact of expanding Medicaid in their states and seen the people who have been, whose lives have been saved, whose health care has been saved, whose families have been saved from the poorhouse, there's just no doubt that it's been a tremendous success in state after state. The uninsured rates in those states are much, much lower. Far fewer people dying unnecessarily. I just think it's the most obvious no-brainer, and I think we absolutely are closer to it. I think more and more Republicans are realizing this, and if it weren't for Phil Berger, I think it would pass very quickly. I think Tim Moore would do it. I think the House Republicans are already leaning in that direction, and I think if Phil Berger gets a scare in the election in November, or if the Republicans lose their supermajorities, I think we'll be much closer to it happening in 2019.
Rob Schofield is director of NC Policy Watch. Becky Gray is a senior vice president at the John Locke Foundation. Thank you both.
Thanks.
And a programming note, we are taking a summer recess as well. We will resume these weekly conversations in August.